This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 and you're with Lynn on the Evening Edition. And first up this hour, first things first, I guess, happy World Sleep Day and happy Friday the 13th. I don't actually know if I can attach happy to either of those days, but I'm doing it anyway. So we're not focusing so much on superstitions and Friday the 13th, sadly. Instead, we're looking at the arguably more important two of the days, which is World Sleep Day. So with the rising number of COVID-19 cases, I think we can see that it's more important than ever to get a good night's sleep, to stay healthy. But today in this discussion, we did want to move beyond just the health benefits of sleep and also talk a little bit about how much of a priority we're actually making it on a day-to-day basis. And if we're not, then what's getting in the way? So just to paint you a picture, an article from the NST reported that 9 out of 10 Malaysians are sleep deprived, which sounds like an incredibly high number. But I also think maybe not that surprising, because if I think about my own life and how much I sleep or how often I hear other people complaining about not getting enough sleep, then that kind of feels about right. And I think a lot of different things contribute to this lack of sleep. I'm thinking here of things like street noise. You might just have too much work and you have to work into the night. There's also just straight up distractions from our smartphones and devices. For me personally, I know that I often get stuck in the internet 1 a.m. loop of death, where you just open an app, you think you're about to go to sleep, but then you grab your phone, and then whether it's Instagram, YouTube, or Netflix, you suddenly get lost, and 10 videos down the line, you're just hating yourself and it's game over. So I think on a larger scale, therefore, we need to talk a bit about why it feels like we're more willing to invest time, effort, and money to other parts of our life. And I'm thinking here of things like going to the gym and eating well, and not so much on sleep, which is something that experts will tell you is incredibly crucial to our health. And I think this speaks to any number of different things, and most people can relate. I think if you have some extra money, or if you are paying a monthly payment to, say, a gym, for instance, that's something that you think of as good for you. You do it for yourself. But then how many of us really bother to practice strict sleep hygiene, for instance? How many of us are actually buying top-of-the-line pillows or mattresses? Not that I'm saying you need that, but if you're thinking about the investment of money, then it's pretty clear, I think, that our priorities sit elsewhere other than sleep. And so we thought today we would focus the whole conversation and hone in on prioritizing sleep. But since I made a mini confession of my own on my terrible pre-sleep habits, I'd just love to hear from you guys. What are the things that are thieving your sleep? What are the things that are eating in on the hours that you would otherwise be using to get a good night's rest? Whether it's your phone, whether it's your kids, whether it's your work, let me know. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And we're crossing over now to Dr. Intan Sabrina, who is a rehabilitation and sleep specialist. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Intan.
Yeah, sure.
So first of all, to just get it out of the way, how do we define quality sleep?
Sleep is defined as reduced responsiveness to environmental stimuli. So how do you differentiate between a person who is asleep as opposed to somebody who's comatose? Basically, somebody who is asleep, you can actually arouse the person. So a good quality of sleep means that you feel refreshed when you get up. It's dreamless, usually. You're not remembering that some monsters are after you or you're in an accident. And it's usually continuous, uninterrupted for at least maybe 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah. And in your experience, what are the most common reasons for why people aren't getting that level of quality sleep?
Take myself, for example. Now we are being briefed on COVID-19 like every 2-3 hours. So we have to work in shifts and the phone keeps on ping, 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 you know. So you're on call, and life pressures, such as if you have children, you have a lot of demands. People are banging you for deadline. So, and of course, you have your smartphone, you enjoy YouTube videos and, you know, all this news feed. So I think we are the master of our own sleep quality.
And so to come back to, I guess, the central question that we're trying to look at, right? Do you think that right now there is enough priority given to quality sleep, or are most people kind of thinking about other things?
Yeah, I think actually if I usually teach my medical students and young doctors and even nurses, you know, there are four things that you have to decide whenever you want to approach something, whether it's urgent and it's important, urgent but not important, not urgent but important, and not urgent and not important. So sleep is actually an urgent and very important aspect of your life. But because in a day, there are many things, you're hit by a lot of demands. So if you don't know which box to put each stimuli in or each issue, so you put sleep as at the back of your mind, that's like the lowest of your priority. When in fact, the brain is just like a computer. If you do not shut down, it cannot function well. So sleep is very important, even though you're very busy.
And on that note, why do you think then that we seem to find it easier to invest in our nutrition or our exercise and our lifestyle as a whole instead of in our sleep?
Because it's more sexy and fashionable, and it's a fast way to, it's a quick fix, basically. You know, you're hungry and you see something you want, and then you just order maybe through GrabFood or, you know, just take away. So it's an instant gratification, whereas sleep, you have to invest in a few hours. So it's like a delayed gratification. You don't really see or reap the benefit until after a few hours or a few days after you have actually rested. Then you see the effect. So if you are aware, basically you need to increase your awareness, and your attitude needs to have a positive attitude, and you are given the skill to master how to have a good sleep, then you will make that investment.
So let's talk about what that investment might actually look like, right? Because there's been a lot of innovation in sleep tech. There are now several gadgets on the market that purport to revolutionize the way we sleep. Are they actually worth trying, or are these just gimmicks? And how can you tell the difference if you're not a specialist?
Okay. Number one is actually, if your listeners can just do a very simple sleep quality study, screening tool, it's called Top Bang Questionnaire. Basically, it's to screen whether you have obstructive sleep apnea, or in short, OSA. Basically, it means you stop breathing during sleep. And this is quite dangerous if you don't know whether you're stopping breathing while you sleep. It's actually quite dangerous. When you stop breathing, when you sleep, there's no oxygen that goes to your brain. It actually affects your cognitive function. It also shows that new studies are showing that you can actually have high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, and even dementia. So it's very important to do all that first. And then you go and see your doctor. Maybe if your score is more than 3 out of 10, then you should go for a sleep study. And if your doctor can interpret the results, or you can actually go to a sleep physician, either neurologist, respiratory physician, even rehab physicians, we can actually recommend you the proper gadgets that you actually need to function. And not just by, you know, when you go, I noticed in my Instagram, there's always like this very fashionable, very slim, sort of like a clip on the nose, go like, oh, you know, good quality sleep, you buy this. I don't think you should be investing in that unless it is clinically indicated by your doctor, I mean, recommended by your doctor.
Right. And outside of out-and-out sleeping disorders, are there avenues for people to explore if they just want to try and level up in terms of their quality of sleep, you know? And does that rest in gaining new items, you know, trying out new things, or is it down to forming new habits?
I think this is my standard approach. A lot of my patients ask, doctor, can I try this? My friend, or I've been approached by this one. So I said, you know what? We can actually close the hospitals in the whole world if if everything works, just like it's a quick fix. You buy this, everything works. That's not actually evidence-based. Whenever you read about something or somebody's trying to sell you something, really, if it's free, why not try it? But if you have to invest your hard-earned money, I think you should make a little bit of research and ask your doctor, because your doctor should know your clinical indication, your allergies, and prescribe the most suitable device for you if you need it. Don't go investing things you don't really know about.
So right now then, if somebody is having difficulty sleeping, what would you suggest be the first step that they take in terms of trying to investigate why that is? You know, what should they be changing about their surroundings, things like that?
Okay. So first, it's knowledge is power. So read everything about sleep quality, sleep disorders, and then do the screening tools that I told you about just now, Stop Bang. And also there's another screening tool called Epworth Sleepiness Scale. So you can actually stratify how sleepy you are during the day, whether you sleep during meetings or, you know, attending a class or whatever. So that's the first thing. Screen through a very simple questionnaire-based thing and then go to your doctor. And the third thing is to practice sleep hygiene. Sleep hygiene is basically divided into two. One is to maintain regular bedtime and awakening schedule, avoid naps during the day, restrict activities in bed, except for, you know, sleeping and sexual activities. Wind down prior to bedtime. So this could be as simple as, you know, taking a shower, praying, reading a book. You know, a good one is you take the thickest medical journal and you will be, like, you know, you will sleep within one or two minutes. And then exercise during the daytime. Don't exercise before you want to sleep. So you need to exercise during the daytime so that you are tired by the end of the day. So it's not a good idea, you know, you go to the gym after work and then you have dinner and then you sleep, because you need at least 4 hours to digest the food. So early dinner is good, and then make sure that you sleep after 4 hours of your last meal. And don't have a heavy meal at night, because that's going to, like, rechannel the blood flow to your gut, right? Mm. And don't watch TV. Don't watch TV, especially horror movies, because that's actually winding you up instead of winding you down. Last time, in the olden days, the movies are all, you know, slow, and you actually follow the page, the movie in a car. It's very, very slow paced. But movies now, within 1 minute, there would be it's a lot of shots. So your brain is actually stimulated, and this will increase your stress level, your stress hormone, cortisol and adrenaline. And these are all the anti-sleepy hormones that will mess up with your blood pressure, heart rate and stress level. So you need to, like, calm yourself down and also avoid caffeinated products. Avoid alcohol, and so they do not smoke or take substance abuse, okay, recreational drugs. And the worst thing you can do is to take sleeping pills, because even though it knocks you out, you will get what we call tolerance, whereby after a few days or weeks, you will need a higher dose to get the same effect or efficacy. Another effect that you may get is also dependence. It means if you are not on that pill, you can't go to sleep. So a lot of my patients, especially those with spinal cord injury, brain injury or stroke, they have spasms. Spasms means your limbs go, you know, shaking without your control. So some of the doctors, they give what we call benzodiazepine, which can actually make you sleepy. It actually optans your brain, so less impulses go to your spinal cord and your limbs. But after a while, you get this tolerance, meaning you need the drug actually not for the spasm, but they're actually they're hooked on it, okay? They get addicted to it. So they don't use it, they no longer use it for spasm, but actually to go to sleep. So that's actually abuse. So patients who get mad at me because I will not give them this benzodiazepine for long, I will refer them to a psychiatrist for substance, well, it's called addiction disorder. Yeah. The second part of the CPIJ is actually stimulus control. It means to have a good sleep, you need to be in your bedroom and it needs to be dark. Even a blue light is not helpful because your brain needs the melatonin is released to regulate your sleep. So any light will actually reduce the melatonin secretion, as well as you need a growth hormone. So when you sleep, you release growth hormone, and this growth hormone repairs damaged cells and regenerates. So I think this there are many studies that are being published now. When you have enough growth hormone, the chances of you getting high blood pressure, stroke, heart disease, stress, anxiety, depression, sort of dementia is reduced because they actually heal. People will get more cancer. The incidence of cancer is higher when they do not sleep well. So your cells that are supposed to be repaired, they are not being repaired. The second one is to go to bed at the same time every single day. And if you go into bed and you're not sleeping, get out of bed. Yeah, so what I usually do is I have like a pile of clothes that I do not have the mood to iron. So if I can't sleep, I start ironing or I start vacuuming the house. So all of this will be like a KIV tray. If I can't sleep, they are going to make my sleep better if I get the chores done. Yeah. So that's
cool.
Yeah.
Dr. Intan, thank you so much for weighing in. And particularly, I think, for that tip on clothes ironing. I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate to that. You just heard there from Dr. Intan Sabrina Mohammed, who is a rehabilitation and sleep specialist, talking to us about really how to get good sleep and why it is that we don't seem to prioritize it in conjunction with World Sleep Day, which is today. So I've been asking you guys, what are the things that get in the way of you getting sleep? I'd also like to add on to that and know, you know, if you've actually improved your sleep, how did you do that? Share it with the rest of us sleep-deprived fools, please. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So some thoughts that have come through. First of all, this from Dennis, who's saying, I heard that we delay our sleep because subconsciously we know that when we sleep, tomorrow has begun. Once we wake up, it's time to work again. So we try to stay awake as long as possible. And that's quite a lovely thought. And, you know, when I look at my nieces and nephews and their absolute refusal to sleep, to nap during the day, my initial thoughts are, someday you will regret this. You will wish for this moment where people encouraged you to nap. But the other thing is also, you can totally recognize the FOMO. If you look into the eyes of a six-year-old who's just like, why are you going to have fun without me while I nap? I think this message very much reflects that sense of FOMO and that desire for things to be the same, for the day to not end. I get where you're coming from. Joe very simply says, gaming console, so hard to stop. Next thing I know, it's morning. In that same vein, we also have this from April, who says, too many things to do, too little time. I mostly stay up for leisure, maybe an online novel that's reaching its climax, a YouTube video waiting in my waiting list for far too long. It may be work, catching up with important news, engaging in heated debates online. I know I should have put my phone away sooner, but I just couldn't stand having nothing to do. I can't even watch a slow-paced movie without speeding up or play with a phone at the same time. It's first world problems. Our lives are so fast-paced that we struggle at slowing down. And by the way, if I start doing chores, I'll end up staying all night instead. Yeah, I have started, there have been nights where I think I just started sort of cleaning up the room or the house or rearranging my wardrobe, thinking that I'll get really sleepy. And before you know it, yeah, again, it's 3 a.m. And yes, I have an immaculately cleaned house and yet no sleep. So yes, I totally get where you're coming from. Sai says, sleep is for the weak. But jokes aside, another one. I'm an avid gamer. As a father of two daughters and work at the side, I have very little time for my little hobby. So guess what? I can swap for some time to get lost in the fictional world where any decision you make shapes the world you don't really live in. It's my happy time. But I don't game every night, so quality sleep is still a priority, at times. So keep them coming. I'd like to know, what are the things that have been thieving on your sleep? For me, it is definitely... it's definitely the things that I'm watching. I think I'm just going to watch one video and then it's... I think I just shouldn't touch my phone after midnight, and yet, here we are. So yeah, share your weaknesses with me is what I'm saying. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio in conjunction with World Sleep Day. That's exactly what we're talking about. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.